Welcome to another program of Savoir Faire, the program about design and designers, which is being brought to you by the History of Art Department, University of Malta, under the coordination of Dr. Giuseppe Scambri-Bonacci, who is also the Artistic Director of the Invina Biennale 2015. My name is Melanie Farrugia, and I will be your hostess during these programs. I remind you that you can follow images of what we will be discussing by accessing the following website, melfarrugia.wix.com/savoirfaire. You just need to go to the Programs tab and select the program number accordingly. Also, you can find us on Facebook, and I urge you to like us to keep updated by searching Savoir Faire. And also, I would like to invite you to like the Campus FM Facebook page, which you can find at Campus FM 103.7. Welcome to Program 12 of the series. Today we shall continue our discussion about interior design with the help of our special guest, the interior designer Carmel Spiteri. But before we start, I'll give you a quick recap from last week's episode. We discussed what is interior design, how it evolved through history. We also mentioned some treatises about interior design and architecture. And we also mentioned different kind of residences, along with the differences in interior design when it comes to residences for the well-off and higher classes, and those for lower classes in society. And we had concluded with the history of interior design in Malta. I remind you that you can find the podcast of last week's program on the following website, maltauniversitybroadcasting.com. And under the webcasts tab, you can choose Savoir Faire. And last week's program was program number 11. So, Carmel, how are you? And welcome back.
I'm well, thank you. And thank you very much for inviting me to your very interesting program, Ellen.
So, maybe we can start by mentioning again something briefly about the current situation nowadays when it comes to interior design, especially in Malta.
Well, basically, it's a healthy environment, as discussed last time, and you discovered that in interior design in Malta, there are niches where one could develop his talent and work, because people tend to specialize, those who do hospitality, those who do domestic, but it's a healthy situation, and as I said last time, there's material enough and good workmanship and investment in the industry to make your creative dreams come true, basically. So it's a healthy environment. Mm-hmm. Last time I also mentioned the cutting and pasting of other people's ideas. In my case, I can say that there are houses which I worked in and, for example, did wrought iron works in their front garden, which would be visible for all to see. And these I've seen copied several times, tens and twenties of times, some in different parts of the island. I don't think this is right. I mean, people should credit the creator of the design. And it's not fair to just photograph and copy and make other people property ours. I mean, that's one thing that bothers me in this profession. Otherwise, I don't think I have any complaints.
Let's discuss what the typical good procedure should be when one asks for the services of an interior designer. So, Carmel, I call you because I really feel that I am not happy with the look of the environment of my house and wish to have some drastic changes, always if possible to do so. So, how does it go? What's the procedure?
Yes, I think there should be a procedure and I try to stick to one. Obviously, it depends obviously on the work involved and the clients. The obvious thing to do first is obviously to meet the client or clients, and I think it is important that all interested parties are continuously involved. during the first meeting, one should listen rather than talk. Listen, see what the client requires, what he or she dislikes, and why. I do not believe that the designer should impose himself, especially in domestic projects where the client will have to live in the environment the designer creates. Involvement. There should not be I and you, but us. Design should be, especially in domestic cases, it should be done together. Then obviously, if the site exists, if it is physically built and not just on plan, it has to be surveyed as precisely as possible, to the millimeter, I mean. The measurements of the survey are then transferred on plan. Elevations and sections, and some details if required. When the designer measures himself and draws himself, the bond between the building and the designer will be greater. And I think there will be more sensitivity when it comes to designing at a later stage during this process. With the aid of the computer programs, drawings are done full scale nowadays, but printed to scale after they are drawn. This is the inverse of what used to be done on the drawing board, where the scale had to be determined first. Then obviously the client is shown the plans and the furniture layout is discussed. The ideas are penciled in the fresh plans and the empty plans together. The clients obviously react to this, and one can keep what is proposed or seek other options.
So when this happens, do you try to suggest that their idea might not be the best solution, or at this point?
Yes, I think it's important to be sincere. You tell them what you feel, what you think, and most important, tell them why, obviously, mm-hmm. because I had said before that preconceived ideas could be a problem with this work. But obviously, if they insist, then it will be a bit difficult either to proceed or in the outcome, the end result, basically. Then obviously one goes back to the software where the furniture layout is drawn. What obviously we had done before, what we had penciled in, is drawn on the computer. In some cases, people will already have furniture which they want to keep or transport to the new property. So these items are measured and incorporated in the plan, which shows the furniture layout. It is essential that one reaches a final stage in this part of the planning, as shifting things around continuously is a big problem. It will cost time and money, and some people do have this trend of being unsure and uncertain for prolonged periods of time. They're not persuaded. They keep like fighting the ideas off. After this, the services are included in the plan with the furniture drawn in, so that one does not end up with sockets hidden behind furniture or with light fittings lighting up wardrobe tops. This phase is again discussed with the client. Obviously, with computer today, you can switch off the layer of the furniture so that you can give the plans to the contractors at a later stage in a cleaner state, basically. Clients might want to add or remove points. Obviously, the style of the furniture would be frequently mentioned during the previous meetings, but now would be the time to delve into this further. Color schemes and materials are discussed. Ideally, what we do now would reflect how things are done presently, what is called the contemporary. I'm referring to style now. But this also depends on the project in question and the particular tastes of the client. This is why knowledge of the historical timeline is essential, so that good advice is given whatever the style chosen, so the end result would make sense. The works to be carried out and the materials required are listed in sequence, so that quotations would be given by contractors and suppliers. And this would be done in a like-with-like manner, so that the adjudication, when you come to choose, would be fair for both parties. This list is called a bill of quantities. Obviously, knowledge of quantity surveying would make this list more complete and more professional, and avoiding some of the loopholes, actually. And then one will start to get quotes from relevant suppliers. with the plan in hand, with dimensions on it. Meetings on site could be required with those involved to avoid surprises further down the line. It is good to make them remeasure, better safe than sorry. The client would be guided to make good choices so that in the end things would look good together. It is like making of a large jigsaw puzzle. Even things that might seem not so important, like deciding what kinds of bulbs to use, I mean, everything has its weight, has its importance. And then when you have lights, you also have shadows, so this could help also in the interior design. The use of ventilation shafts and vents. I think the team formed by the designer and the client would put common sense and the academic together so that the end result would be of quality.
You mentioned lighting. Maybe we can delve a bit more. For example, there is the ambient lighting, task lighting, accent, daylight, contrast.
Well, the ambient lighting is artificial light, which obviously is used during the late hours of the day, which lights up the room, what could also be called as the general lighting. A task lighting is different, as it lights up an area where a function is being carried out. For example, the lights we find in the hood over the hob in the kitchen, which lights up the cooking area. The lights underneath the hanging cupboards, which lights up the area where other chores are carried out, like toasting bread or slicing up meat. And you could have lighting which lights a feature maybe, or a textured wall or wallpaper, to bring out the texture, what is also called as raking light, when you have the light fitting closer to the wall, or even having lights for its own sake, just lighting a plain wall with scallops, or nowadays you can have just a narrow beam of light which goes down or up a wall and across the floor without being transformed into any other shape, basically.
So it's basically it's used for decorative purposes only.
That's right. Obviously, you'll have spillage, and it will not just do the line for you, but you'll have spillage and enough light to light, for example, a corridor.
Can continue with this quite a long process, eh?
It is a long process, and it's important that all the time you know what you're doing. You're sure of yourself and know what you're doing, and it's also important to deliver this your thoughts in a clear way to the client, basically.
And what would be the next step?
Obviously, it comes to a point when you have to choose the final products to be implemented. And choose the different contractors. Problems, of course, might arise if a client wants to employ relatives who might not be so good, obviously to save money, but then we end up with something else. Problems with elderly workmen who have been doing the same mistake for years and just persisting in this habit for them is something becomes good, it doesn't.
Actually, something similar happened to me when I was having my bathroom done. And when the tile layer came to lay the tiles, I had to go to work on an emergency, so I left him there with specific drawings as where I want certain tiles, like the feature tiles. Instead of horizontally, for some unknown reason, he decided to place them vertically. and I ended up with the feature being the most horrible thing in the bathroom. And unfortunately, I could do nothing about it because when I went back, it was everything done and fixed in place. And when I told him, like, what have you done? He said, well, that's how we usually do it. I'm like, that's not what I wanted. But, well, now I'm laughing about it. But at that point, I was crying in front of him.
Yes, this is this is a problem when not enough supervision is required, and then there's this issue. But when a designer works with the same people, they get a rapport. They get to know each other. What mm-hmm. what his likes and dislikes are. That he doesn't tolerate, you know, individual. Not less affair, but people taking their own judgments and their own doing things their own way. It doesn't work like that, because at the end of the day, the jigsaw puzzle, when it comes to that piece, it does not fit, and that's a big problem.
Yes, I know.
As I said before, it costs time and money.
Mm-hmm.
Supervision is important, obviously, and even when choosing the contractors, obviously everyone has a budget. It's not good enough to go for the cheaper one. I mean, we have to, if you don't know the contractor, just go and see what he has done. Ask him, can I see what you have done before? And check his workmanship, his sensitivity, the finesse of the works, his dexterity, the ability of his people, because there are large contractors who one day they sent you John to do your whitewashing, and then the job after they sent Peter, who is not, you know, as able as John is, or
yes,
even better.
In fact, you can tell the difference from room to room. You can tell someone else worked on it.
Yes. Even this transfer of information, if the designer tells the client what has to be done, and the client tells the wallpaper hanger what has to be done, and the wallpaper hanger goes to the shop and tells the shop owner what, you have a long chain of transfer of ideas, and you end up with something, you know, instead of doing a villa, you end up with a butcher shop or something similar. So I think it's important that the designer or the architect, if that's the case, will talk, if necessary, he will talk to all these people, but to also talk directly to the people who are actually hands-on doing the work themselves, so that there won't be any mm-hmm. hitches or misunderstandings.
Yeah. So, yeah, you were going to tell us something about the services that one needs to implement.
Yes, we mentioned the plumbers and the electricians. There are alarms. Today we have the fire, heat, smoke, intruder, alarms, sensors, bells and what have you. There are the air conditioners. Some people do them, others don't. The cameras, the closed circuit TVs for security purposes. Then obviously we mentioned also apartments or homes of luxury, which require obviously more than this. But this is what's normally done. Then obviously there's, after the services, the plaster comes in, gypsum soffits, ceilings and or false ceilings as we call them, and partitions are done. Painting, you get the painters, you choose the colors, you tell them where to paint what and in which color. Tilers, what I usually do is to do the first coat of paint first before the tile laying, and then paint the last coats after tile laying. Obviously, one has to fix the doors, and when you have people around, with workers around, you still get an amount of, hopefully small amount of damage, so you have to retouch and repaint in some places. And then the electrician comes back. Usually he starts the project and comes out last with the final fix, where he fits in the sockets and the bulbs and the light fittings and connects up to make the final services work, basically. And obviously then the curtains and furniture will come in.
What about the choice of the materials?
Well, when we come to choice, the choices are varied when it comes to materials. Even a simple door, it can be made out of aluminum or timber or steel or glass. So it depends what the project is, what your style is, and what you would like the end result to be, basically. But in the end result, we'll have to fit in together and look well. All these small pieces, tiny pieces of material will look well together and have a homogeneous result, basically. So it's very important to know the materials and how they react in different circumstances. That's basically it.
When we met before the program to discuss what we're going to be mentioning, you mentioned a curiosity which really intrigued me, and I would like you to share it with our listeners. So you were mentioning the whole process of how the curtains are hung in palaces.
Well, yes, in some places we leave the curtains hanging down straight to the floor, basically, and in some curtains are gathered. Well, it's all about geometry, basically, because they used to get the right shape for a curtain, they used to use very fine chains and hang one end of the chain on the top end of the curtain, while with the other end at a distance from floor level, which forms a curve, and they used to put the edge of the curtain following this curve. It looks better visually. And obviously, sometimes, actually, we go in a place and we say we like it, and we can't explain why. It's even these things, not just the right choice of materials, but how things are done. I mean, you have to be correct in all facets and all that is done, basically, for a good end result.
Also, one sometimes has to be inclined to collaborate with other experts when needed. For example, an art historian, a restorer, an architect, and of course the interior designer.
Yes, this is very important, and some of the projects I've been involved in have worked that way. I think this is healthy, because you can't know everything, you can't be expert in everything. And some sites, especially if it's a historic site, it is important that you have this multidisciplinary team. We all have our bits to do, and like meeting frequently or exchanging ideas and information on the net makes the project go smoothly, even for the sake of those working there and even for the client himself. Yes, I mean, the historian is important, because some... maybe a detail in the fabric or in the house or the palace could escape, you know, the architect or the designer or the restorer and vice versa. So a multidisciplinary team, some projects is the thing to do. Actually, it's advisable and it works. Obviously, we can't feel superior and inferior to one another. We all like part of a team. It's like the links in a chain. I mean...
Everyone is important.
Yes, everyone is important. I mean, this idea of being super... I mean, it's... You were studying one thing and I was studying another. So we were all, you know... So that's a healthy way to do things.
Carmel, thanks so much for joining us and for all this very, very interesting information.
Yes, thank you for inviting me, and I hope that our conversations will prove helpful for most. Thank you very much.
you for joining us, and I hope that you found all this information useful and interesting. And I remind you that you can download podcasts of all these programs from the website MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com by choosing the webcasts tab, and from there you can choose savoir-faire. Join us next week for more savoir-faire.